You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. I'm Shane Stetsny. I got Brent Smith here with me. And Brent, this podcast has been delayed a little bit. You've been on injured reserve. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling much better now. Thanks for asking. I just, since ERX Motor Park on the way home, I didn't feel the greatest. And it's taken me about 2 weeks to get better. And not to say that I'm perfect, but I'm definitely going in the right direction. So back to another off-road weekend.
Yeah, you're a soldier. I got faith in you.
Heck yeah, dude. We can't stop for anything. We got to keep turning this soil over, and this season's been awesome. I can't wait to get to Lena. A lot of guys, they have mixed emotions about it. It's so tight and technical, but that's my favorite words when it comes to driving styles in this sport. I think the drivers come to the top at a track like this.
Yeah, I agree. And I've said this before on the podcast. I think the entire blend of different tracks on the tour, they all bring something a little different. Like you said, this is close quarters. It's probably the narrowest track on the circuit, you know, right up there with Antigo. You got some tight corners, but they did throw the wrench in it. Like we said at the Mayhem at the Motorplex, the race that Dirt City held as an independent sportsman race earlier this summer, they got rid of the split lane and that's gone. So a new feature that drivers will have to figure out, maybe create some more passing opportunities as well. So I'm with you. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, there's just so many unique features about the Lena track, and everything they've done over the last couple of years has just made it that much better. I mean, looks like Mother Nature should be on our side. Don't want to jinx anything this early, but I think it's going to be warm, but the track's going to be fast.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a track built by racers, for racers, and it's in a town that loves off-road racing. What more could you really ask for? And before we get into some of the action we saw just a couple of weeks ago at ERX, Brent, I've been thinking about this over the last couple of days. We have some really great nicknames in Champ Off-Road right now, and I've listed them out here. We got Mark Air Steiny Steinhardt, Samurai Tony Keepers, Hot Rod Van Epperen, The Madman Maddox Bailey, Rowdy Ryan Beat, The Wild Man Adrian Chenny, and the one I think is my favorite, The Silent Assassin Mickey Thomas. Which one of those is your favorite nickname?
Oh, man.
Samurai Tony is sick as hell, too. Like, that's an awesome nickname.
Mark Air Steiny Steinhardt, probably. It's because I think, I don't know, just the longevity of him being around the sport. And anytime that you bring up that nickname, it just gives me goosebumps because, you know, he's there to do damage and he's been around a long time. So it's cool to have a cool nickname like that.
What about, how do you think those nicknames compare to some of the best of all time? So I came up with a couple. Jumpin' Jack Flannery. I don't know if you remember hearing that over the loudspeakers. Yeah. The Alligator Man, Jimmy Crowder, that's a great one. Dan the Rocket Man, Badeau, and the Flying Dutchman, Dan Vandenhoevel. How do you think Air Steiny and the Silent Assassin can stack up with those nicknames?
I think they stack up right there. I mean, they're all cool in their own way. So, I mean, if you developed a nickname and something that sounds fast or sounds cool, I believe they're all unique in their own way. And I think they measure up with the best of them.
You know, when I was putting together the list of the current nicknames, it's kind of slim pickings for the youth drivers. But I was thinking about that, too. And, like, that's kind of our job to give those out. So maybe that's what we need to keep an eye out for is, you know, I feel like Race Visser probably needs some kind of nickname. And, you know, maybe it's on us to give it to him.
Yeah, we'll have to really dig deep in. Sit down and watch him throughout this weekend. Maybe we can come up with a great nickname. He's been on one heck of a streak so far. I mean, it's going to be hard to tame that kid down.
You ever given a driver a nickname that stuck?
Man, not really. I mean, I have some names that I probably can't say on here, but...
there's names you can call the drivers back in the pit area after dark, but probably not over the loudspeakers.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's probably just the one behind the curtain kind of thing. Just, you know, maybe they do something stupid every race. Maybe they do something great every race that you pull out of, and I could go on for days. We'll just leave it at that. But I
have one that I've been proud of for like 10 years, and that's Dangerous Dave Waldvogel.
Oh, okay.
He got a big kick out of that name because, you know, back when he was racing in Super Stock Truck, and then in Sporty 2 is actually when I called him Dangerous Dave. He just landed. He jumped really far at Bark River, like twice in one race. nothing about his personality or his driving style was dangerous. I'm like, I'm just going to call him Dangerous Dave from now on. And it actually, it was showed up on like his racing bio on his tire sponsor's website. Proud of that one. That's a feather in my cap.
That's been a while back now, and that's cool. It's anytime you can find a cool nickname for a driver, it gives it a little spice each weekend and week out. And I remember back in the day when I was at Bark River, and I believe Dan Vandenhoevel, he was the first one to really catch some good air off that hill, the Flying Dutchman. So that really stuck in my head. I mean, not only is a great guy, great friend over the years, but as a young, young kid at Bark River sitting on that hill, he was the first one to come off that big flyaway with his nose really high up in the air, and it progressed after that. But I believe he was one of the first ones that showed some airtime.
Well, speaking of the Flying Dutchman, how about his grandson, Carter Vandenhoevel, in Modkart back in round four? The closest finish ever in Champ Off-Road history, 0.032 seconds. That's 3/100ths for the layman out there over Avery Hemmer. That I said after Pro Light in round two at Antigo that we would talk about that one for a while. That Modkart race, I think, is like burned into my memory.
Yeah, it's definitely burnt into mine as well. I remember calling that play-by-play and going back and forth with you. Honestly, I did not know who won that race. Avery Hemmer, I mean, putting on one stellar of a performance, and great for Carter Vandenhoevel. Get a first win in that Modkart. Locking down that top spot, that's huge for a young driver, and for him to be out this long out of the sport. Now, he's around it, but being out of the driver's seat, he clicked fairly well.
What a heartbreaking way to end that race for Avery Hemmer, who, like we've talked about a couple times now, feels like she's really close to winning her first race in Modkart. And, I mean, to fall short by, what, 3 inches? Maybe at the timing stripe? She's got to be just beside herself, ready to get back behind the wheel and try it again.
Yeah, that's got to give you a lot of confidence. I mean, she probably thought that she won the race at the same time Carter thought he won it. It was that close, but she really dug deep late in that race and put on that pressure on Carter Vandenhoevel, and I think it's just a matter of time. She's right there, and watch out here in Lena this coming weekend. I think she's going to show the boys what's up.
Well, another class that really brought the drama at ERX, and really that was a continuation to some extent from what we saw at Crandon, was Pro 4. My goodness. Where do you begin describing what happened in Pro 4, those two rounds at ERX?
Wow, just one hell of a race. That's what I could say right off the bat. I mean, you could pull your way each way for whoever's your favorite driver, but in the moment, it was another badass Pro 4 race. And with Kyle the Duke being out, it hurts our hearts, and it's really different not having him throwing that 99 around. But the competition this year has really been second to none. It's been very, very competitive, and I think we're going to see more of that coming in Alena. And ERX Motor Park, just nuts at what it delivered.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, involved in drama both days was RJ Anderson. He was pretty upset after the way some other drivers ran against him in round five at ERX, which was the Friday night race. And then obviously he tangled with CJ in that round six race. And I got a chance to talk to RJ that night a little bit after racing was done. You know, I was probably the 100th person that night to tell him, but I'm like, dude, you have to be here full time, please. Like, just the amount of, he shows up. I mean, everybody else was mixing it up all the same like they always do, but just to have one more wicked fast guy in that field, I mean, just imagine. RJ, please. We'd love to have you full season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree 120%. Like, if RJ, you're tuning in, like I've said it, just like everyone else has said it, it's just we want the best of the best here, and RJ is one of the best, and can't take nothing away from his brother Ronnie Anderson. He was giving John Holdger everything he could handle at the end of that Pro 2 race on, I believe it was Saturday, and it was cool to see the Anderson brothers back in the Midwest taking the gloves off, and obviously RJ's ready to rock and roll because he's showing that he belongs there. It's going to mix things up a lot this second half of the season, and if he was here, I think it would really throw some gloves in the mix.
Right, but don't forget, they will be at Crandon for World Championship weekend, and they're also penciled in to be racing at Mid-America for our finale weekend. So We'll get a taste of the Anderson brothers a little bit later on this year. How about some first-time winners that crossed the stripe at ERX? Colton Burns, we had him on our radar to win a race in 1600 this year. He finally got the job done, looked extremely fast in the process. And then Jordan Bernlohr, Pro Buggy. We hadn't talked about him a whole lot this year, so that's kind of a surprise, but he looks like he's here to play the rest of this year.
Yeah, absolutely. It was so cool to be able to say his name when he's in our camera views throughout the weekend. He's just done great at driving that Pro Buggy. They're not easy to do, and as well as Colton Burns. I mean, he was running with Fitz and Seafelt all day long and then working his way up through and taking that first win. That's huge confidence. We say it a lot, but man, kudos to both those drivers for getting the job done, and they're going to be ones to watch the rest of the season, and we have so much talent. It's crazy.
Right. The first win seems to always be the hardest one. I think a lot of drivers would tell you that very same thing. But for two drivers who are already fast, and then you get that monkey off your back, you know, you loosen up a little bit. The confidence doubles. Like I said, those guys are going to be, we saw their first wins. I don't think we've seen their last wins this season.
No, I don't believe we've seen the last of them this year. They're going to be on the podium multiple different times, and don't take them away from being in that winner's circle once again, because their cars are fast, they know how to drive their equipment, and that's what you need to do. You need to put in the time. They're obviously, we don't want to strike them with the announcer's curse, but they're obviously back at home, wrenching on the cars, getting them ready, and they're doing what they need to do to keep every nut and bolt tight. And that's the big part about this sport, is you have to do your homework, and you have to bolt check. You have to make sure every duck is in the line.
Well, a couple drivers right now having no problems winning races here in Champ Off Road. Raymond Denninger in the 170s, four in a row now. Short course cart, same thing. Race Visser, four in a row. Which of those guys do you think can push the win streak to five this weekend at Dirt City?
Wow, both of them. Just the way they've been driving. I believe that Denninger, we say his name nonstop when he's out there, and he's proved that he's going to be there every time. And Race Visser, we talk about him a lot. I mean, he's a great young individual racer that he wants to win. He's got a lot to look up to. His father running in the Pro Spec division, I mean, that's huge for such a young talent to get to watch, because he's going to get better and better. And to win four in a row, hell, he could win six in a row the way he's going.
Yeah, and if I'm remembering right, I'm pretty sure Race had at least a three-race win streak last year too. So, you know, rattling off win after win after win, this kid's getting kind of used to it.
Yeah, he's used to winning, and the confidence level's huge, and especially under his helmet, he has just a smile every time he gets out there. I have to say my apologies and said he was from Alaska on our scoring sheet over the weekend. It's still bothering me. The poor little guy just staring up in the booth, just puts his arms up. He's so talented. You know, you want to be perfect when you're calling what he's doing, because he's going to be one of our next pro athletes coming up. I promise you that.
Hey, to be fair, he did kind of give you the what for about it the next time he saw you, so which we expected that he would.
Well, the kid can't move yet.
Well, speaking of us making drivers' days not as good as they should be, the announcer's curse is real this year, and I don't know what's up with us, but we have really bothered some people. Dylan Parsons came up to me Saturday night after racing was done at ERX, because we were gassing him up. He was having a good run, and then he rolled. So he said wanted me to pass this along too. Thanks a lot. Kyle Sharkey, we gassed him up really hard coming into ERX. He was first in points in Pro-Am, dropped all the way to fifth in points. So drivers, we apologize.
Yeah, there's not much we can do.
What's the deal with all that?
Yeah, I don't know. We could pick one thing and something else happens, but we try to go with the guys that are looking good and the girls that are looking good on camera, that are showing their talents and showing how they're progressing. And so we're trying to stay ahead of the game. And sometimes, hey, you know, we make mistakes too, Shane. We're human over here, but I always give them guys a hard time back. It's like, all right, we can say what we want, but you're the one that's still in that race truck. And so
just as a reminder to all the drivers who are listening to this, send all complaints directly to Brent Smith.
I'll write them down.
Need a hefty stack of paper this year, I think, the way it's going. Well, hey, looking ahead to the rest of this year, Brent, we're just about to halfway for the pros. It'll actually be after round 7 at Dirt City Motorplex this weekend. That'll be halfway for the pro season. Got some good points battles. Mickey Thomas, Rowdy Ryan beat Corey Winner. That's the battle in Pro 2 right now. From first to third, separated by 8 points. In Pro Spec, Chad Rayford, Gray Ledbetter, the defending champ, they're separated by 3. Super Stock Truck, Scott Belanger, leads by 1 over Joe Machosik. And Pro Turbo side-by-side, CJ Greaves, Kyle Chaney, tied in the points for that lead. You know, we had our eye on all these classes, I think, coming into this year, and they've delivered. It's set up to be one heck of a finish to this year.
Absolutely. It's going to be a barn burner, I believe, especially in the Pro 2 class. I couldn't tell you who's going to win this weekend, because whoever has that good starting spot, whoever can survive, is going to be huge here at Lena coming up, because obviously the body panels are going to maybe be on at the end of the day, because there's not a lot of room. And in the Pro 2 division, everyone wants to win that bad. So I can tell you, Rowdy Ryan beat is going to be one to watch. We talked earlier this week, Mickey Thomas, one of our favorites, because they just have their game on right now, and it's going to be hard to battle with those two up front, and it shows. They're in the top of the points.
Yeah, and a couple notes on Pro 2, by the way. Ricky G will not be there for Dirt City. He announced that on Instagram. He was involved in a pretty bad crash in round 6 at ERX, and this is the grind of the season right now, where it's 2 weeks from ERX to Dirt City and then 2 weeks from Dirt City to Bark River. So that's really tough to turn a truck around, especially if you got a lot of work to do. So Ricky G out for Dirt City, and Keegan Kincaid also taking the weekend off. He posted that on Instagram that he will be back for Bark River. So that's opportunities for some other guys, though, that we haven't seen on the podium yet. I'm thinking about guys like Zakowski, Bob Brand, another guy who's showed some speed at times. That opens the door and makes a little space, too, for that three-way points battle.
Yeah, it really does, and I agree. And I mean, this is nothing against Keegan or Ricky G. It's some things come up and they just can't make it. So, you know, it's a bummer, because we want those two in the mix. And I agree that it's going to bring some new faces up on the podium, and it'll be interesting. I'll throw another towel in the mix, and we'll see what happens in the Pro 2 division. I mean, all these divisions are very, very tight. You talked about Belanger and Machosik. I mean, separated by 1. There's a lot of drama going in this weekend in a lot of different classes, but keep your eye on that Super Stock Truck race.
Yeah, we had some insider discussions with a couple teams from Super Stock that were talking a little bit about some post-race drama after round 6. So we won't spill the beans, because we have some journalistic integrity and we're not going to throw our friends under the bus, but there's drama there, and it's going to there's some things yet to be decided at Dirt City this weekend.
Yeah, and that's stuff that's out of our hands. I mean, there's going to be drama no matter which way you throw this sport. Everyone wants to go out there. They all want to win. They find one thing wrong with somebody else's truck, they got to go and tell Billy or Tommy or Terry in the pits, and it happens, right? I think we all just need to take our hats off, lay it down on the line, and see who's the best driver. Yeah, granted, rules are rules, but when you're out there, these guys really throw it on the line. And I'm telling you, the Super Stock Truck class, we say it a lot, but there's a lot of great talent in it. And as well, it's another class like Pro 2. You never know who's going to win.
Yeah, and I think the added spotlight from Impulse Media doing their Rush series on Super Stock Truck this year is maybe bringing out the egos a little bit more too. And I, you know, that was part of the story that I heard secondhand back in the pits after round 6, was that it's always dramatic. Those guys are so hyper competitive, but you know, everybody is really putting on a show for the cameras. I can't wait to see the finished product from that one.
Yeah, it's cool to be a part of that, and it's just you and I get to watch these races every weekend, and it's a lot of drama, but that's what fans and the content that we show today is, who is doing what against whoever they're racing against. You know, it's like, okay, who was fast this weekend? Oh, well, so-and-so did this, and he had illegal brake pads, illegal rotor. Well, then the next week, it's like, okay, that guy fixes his stuff, and the next week, the other guy has that on his truck. So it's like, people try to take everything they can out of each other, and I just believe that rules are one thing, but these races are very, very unique in their self, because we used to call this stock truck in super stock, and I believe it's almost ready to be called pro stock. I think the name stock should be right out of it, because these drivers and these builders are making some cool stuff.
Yeah, they've really stepped their game up. And like you said, you know, first of all, we don't make the calls, and that's a different department. So any drivers listening, yeah, feel free to talk some smack with us, but we don't make any calls, so just don't bother us about that. And I'm saying that jokingly, obviously.
You wouldn't want us to make the calls, I promise.
No, everybody knows we have favorites anyways. Drivers will tell us that too. But as fans, we're fans first and foremost, and you know, just like any other fan, we love drama. And that's what all those classes that we just mentioned have brought this year. And man, like I said, approaching the halfway point, can't wait to see what other drama is in store for us here at Champ Off Road. But with that, Brent, how about we move on and talk to our guests on this episode?
The next two drivers up on the Champ Off Road podcast, presented by Amsoil, Dylan and Tyson Marquardt. How's it going, boys?
Good. How are you guys?
Not too bad.
Good, good.
Just excited to get back to it. I'm assuming you guys are real excited to be racing in your hometown.
Yeah, man, we're super excited. Hometown track. Me and Dylan both been working there a little bit this week. I've been gone for work a little bit, but both been up there just getting stuff ready. And man, we are excited. I can tell you that.
I do want to talk a little bit more about both you guys helping out at the track, but this, I've been thinking about this since Crandon. So round four, this is your first year racing together in pro stock, and round four, you got to stand together on the podium as pros. First, what were the emotions like during that race?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually pretty crazy. You know, Tyson was in front of me for most of that. So I was actually just chasing him down, hoping I could get up there by him. And man, like that last lap when I knew I was right with him going to the podium, I mean, it was, for me, it was unreal, just because, you know, to share that podium with your younger brother is just, it's something special, you know, and it's something we definitely work hard for. You know, they didn't get to have a podium, which was kind of a bummer because of the rain. But I was super pumped in that moment. I pulled up next to him and I was fist pumped, and I'm like, all right, this is what it's about right here.
Tyson, what about you? I mean, what's going through your head? That's, first of all, a second place finish as a rookie in pro stock is unbelievably good. And then you get to share that moment with your brother. How great did that feel?
It's pretty surreal. Just going the whole race, and we went through all that chaos going into the barn corner. And I didn't really know that he was behind me at all until literally the last corner. My dad, he's my spotter, he came on and he's like, you got your brother by one, stuff like that. I was like, oh man, I didn't even know he was back there. So just crossing the line and him pulling up, it's amazing. I mean, in the past we raced together, like Sportsman Pro-Am, and then we kind of split off when he went up to pro stock, and it just felt like something was kind of missing for motivation wise. And then as soon as we hop back in it together this year again, it's like it just kind of rekindled the flame, you know, a little bit more motivation. You always want to beat your brother, both want to do good, stuff like that. It's just super awesome. Did not really expect to be finished in top five most races in pro stock this year, but I mean, all I could do is just keep running with it right now. Car is feeling real good. I feel real good with driving it. Just getting everything really dialed in. We've been running the same cars, almost same setup the past how many years that we've been racing side by sides, and it's just been a little fine tuning here and there, and now I think we really got something to prove. So
being brothers and always being around each other and racing throughout the years, like, do you guys have a good working relationship? You must.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, over the years we've been working on the cars together, me, Dylan, and my dad, mainly me and Dylan, just always in the shop, always working on them, prepping them, getting them ready for the next season, if so. But lately, this year it's been real tough. Just graduated college and started a new job, and I'm out of town a lot more than I thought it was going to be. So that's been a real struggle. So Dylan's been prepping my car probably, what, two out of the five races so far, 5 weekends. So it's been a struggle. I know he's been working hard. I mean, I'm so grateful to have him working this hard on my car and everything like that. And I don't really get to show him it. I mean, I give him a hug every now and again, say I love you, buddy, but it doesn't really show how much work that he really puts into the whole team, I guess.
When time allows, do you guys pretty much split everything 50-50? I mean, you said your cars are basically identical, so are there certain jobs that one of you has and the other person handles other things, or is it all just when you can, it's all side by side, everybody working together?
I'd say for the most part, you know, we try and work just on, you know, each other's car. Like I'll work on mine, he'll work on his. You know, if it gets down to it and something's broke and whatever, we'll both, the nice thing is we'll both just dive in and, you know, do what it takes to get it done. But I mean, you know, we have a good crew. It's not a large crew by any means. You know, but we got a good crew behind us and everybody kind of has a little bit of their own jobs. You know, there's some things I'd say I do on my car and his car and then vice versa. But for the most part, it's pretty much, you know, I'm with my car, he's with his, just kind of working on our own stuff. But like I said, if it comes down to it, we're all in on each other's car until it's done and right and ready to rip again.
So when I was kind of putting together notes to talk to you two, kind of going off of what you just said, I realized that, you know, Brent and I are obviously really close friends. We have like a really great relationship as teammates where we can kind of count on each other. And, you know, he has his strengths, I have my strengths, so we support each other really well. How much do you two learn from one another? And how much are you able to actually like teach one another as drivers or off the track stuff or stuff beyond racing?
In general, you know, I feel like we're always learning from each other from, you know, just our work ethic. You know, we kind of both worked with our dad for a while building houses. I didn't do it as much as Tyson, but just learning, you know, I've learned from him and my dad on that stuff. Then you get into the shop stuff and, you know, I think he learns a little bit from me. And then there's some things, you know, I learned from him. And then, you know, even just hunting, fishing, all that stuff, you know, we're always learning from each other. And I mean, like, even so, like if you get on track and, you know, certain lines, everything, I mean, setups, everything, like, I think we just share, you know, everything we can with each other, just to better one another. It's pretty awesome to be able to do that, share all that info and learn so much just from like, say one race, like he's taking something different, I'm taking something different. And you come back and you're like, well, that's like the golden lap if you put it together, you know, so it's pretty cool, you know, off the track, awesome. On the track.
After each day, we kind of just go over some of the data in the Ames dash. Thanks to Jesse Heisey, by the way, kind of showing us the ropes on that. But we kind of go over some data, and we're really just trying to figure out shifting points and different lines on the track. And it's been a help for sure, just getting us a little bit more dialed in. But when it comes to what you guys are just talking about, the shop side of it, I'm kind of more just a grunt worker. I'll kind of just do whatever in the shop. And Dylan's super, super critical. He does all the high maintenance stuff, like fuel lines and checking all that kind of stuff. So he's real, really smart on that half of it. Even a lot of the other racers know that Dylan's kind of one of the guys to go to, just because he knows those cars like the back of his hand. It's kind of crazy. I'm still learning. I'm getting there for sure. But and he has them dialed down. Then the racing aspect, I feel like I've been told that I like to drive a little bit more like aggressively, I guess, not by any means taking anyone out or anything, but just how I drive the car in and close racing and stuff like that. And I feel like it kind of pushes Dylan to be a little bit more aggressive because he's known to be on the more conservative side. So especially with having both of us out there, I mean, that knowledge just pushes us even more. I mean, by no means will we ever intentionally touch someone, but just to be more aggressive and be in that race the whole time is, we've definitely helped each other in that aspect of it.
Is it always smooth sailing, or are you guys like normal brothers that have disagreements and arguments?
I mean, it's definitely a little old. Yeah, I mean, it all depends who's in the pit with us.
Come on, do you fight or what? No. We want to know.
If it was the first one to go in the puddle, it'd probably be him. But
my brother and I used to throw wrenches at each other, so I want to know what you guys did.
Nothing that crazy.
No, we throw... It's nothing crazy. Depends who's in the pits with us. I mean, our buddy, he kind of likes to instigate it.
Yeah, eggs us on a little.
Yeah, eggs us on. But when he's not there, it's really
That's
just
awesome.
Clearing our minds after the race and letting each other know kind of what happened. It's no hard feelings towards anyone. Who beats who? It's just, I mean, usually when one of us beats the other, it's usually really close, like a place or two behind each other. Otherwise, one of us breaks and one of us is farther ahead. So it's nothing real serious yet, which is good.
But you're each other's biggest fans, though, too, right? You know, I mean, if you're not having a good day, obviously you want your brother to win.
Yeah, that's for sure. I always want the best for him. So
100%.
So if it's like the, let's say you're running first and second, it's the last lap.
Oh, boy.
Where do you draw that line trying to beat the other brother?
I mean, I put a door on him. I want one out, but I, you know, we interesting a little bit. You got to show a little tire. You got to show a little bit. At least we're on the same page with that one. But by no means would we ever take each other out. That's for sure. Because, I mean, we're both working on the cars, both on the same budget, both in the same bank account. So it's like one of us goes out, then it hurts us both. So
I think one of the things that makes Brent and I such huge fans of you guys is that, you know, you're small town kids. You grew up at the racetrack. You know, the biggest sticker on your race cars is the sticker for your own race team, Broken Dirty. But when you get on the podium, you have this huge list of people that you're thanking. And it seems like you have a lot of support from, you know, your family, friends, local businesses. Is it humbling to have that much support from people in your community like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. You know, since day one, I mean, we still have the same sponsors since day one. You know, even going back to snowmobiles, we still have some of the same sponsors. I don't know if many people know that, but like I started when I was 6 in snowmobiles. He started when he was 4, and there's still some people that are with us, you know, so it's pretty crazy. You know, going into off-road, you know, just being able to reach out to local bars, local family, friends, you know, even just friends in general. You know, it's by no means like huge sponsors, but I mean, they have no idea how much of a difference they really make. You know, and we always just tell them, you know, anything helps us. And it just for them to be behind us and support us and see our dream and just stick with us through everything, it's pretty crazy, you know, just for being a small town in Lena, Wisconsin for a lot of them, you know. But it's definitely cool to have the backing that we've had from the whole list of people.
So being it's such a small town like Lena, when you guys go out in public and that, do you see a lot of, like, not only your fans, but people that know you, and there's some people that you're like, okay, who's that? But they know who you are. Like, are you guys like local celebrities?
I wouldn't say we're local celebrities. I mean, we know everybody, you know, I mean, for the most part, we know pretty much everybody. You know, I don't think we're looked at any different, nor do I want to be looked at any different. You know, we're just two kids trying to live a dream. That's a pretty crazy dream, you know, but it's definitely, you know, we go around, you see the bar owners and you see, you know, anybody at the bar, you go to the, you know, you go wherever, and you just, everywhere we go, you know, you always know everybody. It's Lena. I mean, I don't even know what the population is, but the last time I saw it on the sign, it was 590 people. So there's not people around, but they're all good, fun having people. That's for sure.
So you mentioned that your dad's involved, but how many people are actually, you know, at the track every race weekend helping you guys out?
Usually on a race weekend. So it'd be Tyson and I, of course, my dad usually takes his motorhome, my mom, my girlfriend, Tori, Edo, who is he's a big asset. I mean, even just to the track in Lena, you know, he's up there, it seems like almost every day, you know, especially come race season time. But, you know, he brings his motorhome, and definitely he is a great hand. And then our buddy, Craig, you know, I kind of grew up with him high school, and he's been with us. He's the one that, he might be the instigator sometimes, but,
Is that the Craig that's the Lena legend?
That is the Lena legend.
That's the Lena legend right there.
Wow. He likes to mix it up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, if you get some time for a really long story, you'll have to let him tell you about it sometime.
I mean, this is the fourth year of Champ Off-Road Racing in Lena, and I think the fifth year of racing there, and I don't feel like I've fully experienced it yet because I still haven't met the Lena legend.
Well, we can make that happen this year. We'll get her done.
If you give that boy a mic and a crowd, he can go on for hours.
I don't know if he'd want to, but
he might need some liquid encouragement first, but he's got some good stories.
So, like, now you're coming into your home weekend, racing in front of these people. I mean, that vibe that you guys get going in, just everything around you this weekend, does that not only put pressure on you, but do you thrive off that, or is it hard on you?
I think not so much pressure wise, but it's just like a sense of, it's almost like a sense of relief a little bit, because you know that when you go into that weekend, there's so many people that are supporting us. I mean, obviously you want to perform good for them, but you know they're gonna have your back no matter what. I mean, we've both been through it in like all of our sports and everything, and they've been with us for the ride the whole time. It's really just trying to, especially with our sponsors, just prove to them that I mean, a lot of them, almost all of them are going to be up there this weekend. So it's just trying to prove to these little town sponsors that it's, you know, we're making a name for ourselves in this pro series, and we're just trying to do our best. And just trying to show them what we got, really. Just trying to take our name and make it bigger and just make these people proud.
Well, both of you have won in side-by-sides there before, albeit in the sportsman classes. And pro stock is insanely difficult to win in. But is that your goal this weekend, to give it all you got to try to go out there and win?
You know, I think that's a huge goal of myself and Tyson. Obviously, in this class, it's insane the amount of talent and how deep it is. You know, it seems like, I don't know, what would you say? I mean, six, all the way down to six or 10 cars. I mean, it almost seems like anybody could grab the win, you know, so it's pretty crazy. I think it's definitely a goal of mine this year. Just coming off at ERX, I felt like I was running, you know, quite well. I was quite fast. I had a couple issues, but, you know, we're both right there. And I feel like with just a little bit of luck and, you know, the way we've been driving, I think hopefully we can make something happen.
Yeah. I mean, you look at our times for, qualifying at ERX, and what was it? Second through like 14th place was all within a couple tenths.
It was like 9,000 or something.
Which is insane. So, I mean, that just shows that this field is insanely fast. And we were going off before, you know, obviously the goal is not only to win this weekend for sure for our family and friends and all of our community, but just to go out and win every race. I mean, you got to have that mindset, especially now since we're both doing pretty decent at points. Like, the only way that we can win a championship is to win races. So, I mean, that's our main goal, but this weekend for sure, I mean, we would love nothing more than to win and just show our hometown crowd that the boys are, they're doing pretty decent.
So not only are you prepping for your hometown race, but like you said, you're both have been out at the racetrack this week, you know, helping get the facility set up. So how important is it to you, not just being racers, but you're being Lena residents, that racing is successful there and has staying power there in Lena?
Yeah, I mean, the whole racetrack up there it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's all volunteers. You know, my father's been a big part, the Holters, Pidles, Petersons, other Markworts. You know, there's a whole slew of there's a whole group of people that put a lot of effort into it. So to see a weekend be successful there is just, For our small town and the amount of people, like even for example, like Main Street for Thunder on Main, I mean, you look down that street and you can't see a single gap in anybody for I don't even know how long. But it's so humbling to see a street full of people and then just to have a successful weekend on top of that with good racing and, you know, a lot of people coming up and, you know, just saying how good the weekend was and how much they liked the facility and, you know, everything. It's crazy just to have that feeling. And I know it is, you know, especially for, like I said, my dad and everybody else that volunteers. I mean, there's nothing better than getting a good pat on the back after an awesome weekend like that.
I think what stood out to me is how fast the racing has grown there. And I think it's been a great case study in if you can sell a community on a racetrack before you build the racetrack, you can have really fast success. And as far as I could tell, Lena pound for pound maybe has like the most hardcore off-road race fans. How much of the fast growth is just because of all that community support?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a big part of it. You know, I think being, you know, a lot of the people there are either sponsoring a race team or they've been around racing so much. Like, I mean, Corey Markert was a big name in stock truck, you know, and he had so many people behind him as well, you know, kind of getting the whole off-road thing going. And then there was us and a couple other names, you know, Mark Peterson used to race the Pro 2. So, I mean, from Lena in general, I mean, you even got the Holters and Piles. I mean, there's so many people with families from Lena and friends from Lena that are, like you said, they're just diehard race fans. And, you know, I think it's just crazy when it all comes together, you know, how much they support it. And it definitely makes a difference in the outcome of how much that track has grown.
So your expectations coming into this year, we've talked all throughout what you've done so far, but in your guys' own heads, Tyson and Dylan, like, what did you expect? I know, Tyson, you have 3 podiums through 6 rounds. What were your expectations coming into the 2023 season? I mean, you're both in pro now, but what did you think of it?
Firstly, coming into it, I just was really hoping for, you know, at least a top 5 in points. Maybe a couple podiums if I got lucky, and then just really running with Dylan and some of the top guys, you know. Really wanted to get a good view on, you know, how much the pace was going to change moving up a class and running with these top guys and factory teams and everything like that. Once I kind of got into it, you really just learn the change of pace super fast. The next thing I realized was like actually how clean and precise these drivers that I'm racing against really are. Coming from like Sportsman and Light Buggy, people are banging into each other. I mean, you get a little bit of that depending on track conditions and how angry everyone is. But for the most part, like everyone's super clean, which is awesome. So these drivers, hats off to them. They've been doing really good. But expectation wise, you know, I just wanted to come in and get hopefully top five and just be able to stay up there and run with these guys.
Dylan, what about you? This is year two in pro stock. What did you see as a goal for this year?
Yeah, I mean, so last year I ended up doing pretty good. I don't remember what I finished in points. If it was, I think it was fifth or sixth. You know, so my goal, of course, was coming in, trying to up that for sure. You know, definitely top five or better in points again. You know, and actually just I was more focused on seeing Tyson run just because he had such a rough year last year just with luck. And when you're in that sportsman category like Pro-Am, and if you have one bad weekend at the beginning of the year, it's like you're almost screwed for like the whole year because you're starting in the back. So I was actually pretty pumped to see how he was going to do. And I don't know what it was, but I had a feeling he was going to be definitely bumping doors with me and probably passing me. But no, I mean, my goal was, like I said, top fives. You know, I wanted definitely some more podiums than I had last year, you know, and if the opportunity, you know, came about to be top three in points and maybe take a couple wins, like I was pumped for it. So, I mean, I definitely don't think it's unachievable. I think it's definitely something that could happen this year. So I'm excited to see how the rest of the season goes.
So the story that we've crafted around you guys, when I say we, I mean Brent and myself, is that, you know, you're the small town kids, the family team, and then you're up against, like you said, these factory teams, the top dogs in side-by-side racing. There's obviously a lot of truth in that, but do you guys look at it that way? Or when you get out there, are you just two race car drivers on a track with other race car drivers?
Yeah, I mean, so like when I think you get on the track, I think your whole mindset kind of changes. Like I think you're saying, you know, you get out there and it's helmets on. I mean, it's go time. Like you don't really think about that stuff at all. You know, you're just kind of, you're going for a win. It doesn't matter who's around you. You're going to run them just as hard as they're going to run you. And you guys are going to have fun doing it. And that's the one thing, like in that class, like he's saying, like, everybody's just great to run with. And you just have so much fun doing it, but definitely like off the track. I mean, you think about it a little bit and it's pretty crazy, you know, like, you know, there's these factory guys, you know, CJ, Owen, Carlson, you know, they're all, I would consider factory guys. You know, I'm not saying like they got like insane budgets or anything. But they definitely have some good sponsors behind them and they're heck of good drivers. I mean, you guys see it all the time. I mean, they know how to wheel some vehicles. So being able to compete with them at such a high level, it's pretty awesome, you know, to be competing with those guys.
Do you guys always see yourselves as like the underdogs, or when you line up, do you feel like, hey, we have the equipment to do it and our mindsets are right there as well as those top dogs, like we like to say?
Like I said, when you roll up, I mean, I think you're going to be, you know, super confident. You got to be super confident in yourself. You know, you don't really think about it, you know, because I think we do quite a good job going through everything, you know, before race weekend and then before the race, you know. So I think we're both pretty confident with our equipment, but I think that whole mindset of, you know, are you going to be enough to compete with these guys? I think it goes away once that helmet's on, you know. Like I said, it's full go mode.
You're not underdogs. You're just guys who haven't made it that big yet.
Correct.
Yeah, hopefully at some point, but big dream, no, not yet.
Well, keep doing what you guys are doing, man. You guys are not only making us proud, but a lot of people around you and the series. I mean, it's cool to be able to call your guys' names out week in and week out, because you guys are definitely doing what you need to do. And as a twin brother growing up, having a brother that close, it's cool. I feel that with you guys, and that makes me that much more interested.
Yeah, the atmosphere is awesome. We really appreciate the love and support from everyone. I mean, listen to races back after the weekend and, you know, you guys, love hearing you guys talk about us and all the good things you guys got to say. So we really appreciate that.
You've earned it.
Keep landing on the podium, and there's plenty more where that came from.
I'm trying my damn hardest, I can tell you that.
Sounds like a deal.
Well, hey, fellas, best of luck to you this weekend at your home track, Dirt City Motorplex. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you guys very much. We'll see you this weekend.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, see you soon, bud.
As always, this podcast is presented by Amsoil. Champ Off-Road fans, remember to visit Amsoil.com for products that protect and maximize performance in all your vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient Amsoil product guides to find what you need and get fast shipping directly to your doorstep. Amsoil, run with us. Well, earlier this week, while Brent was out sick, I had a discussion with Michael Funk from ProLite, so let's take a listen to that. Joining us now on the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by Amsoil is two-time Mod Cart World Champion and a current rookie in ProLite, Michael Funk. Michael, welcome to the Champ Off-Road podcast.
Hi, Shane. Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you for a little while here.
Hey, so let's start at the beginning of your off-road career. You're actually, what, 15? But you're a veteran already of off-road racing. Where exactly did it start? I know that you obviously had a lot of success in Mod Cart, but I couldn't remember if you had raced before that.
Yeah, so it was 8 years ago now. My dad just started in super stock truck, and a year after he started, I got into the short course kart division and learned a lot in that division and won a lot of races, and that's where I learned all about racing, and I got pretty good, so yeah.
And then from there, how many years did you race in Mod Cart?
That would have been 3 years I raced in Mod Cart, right around at least. Actually, 2.5 because of last year I had a broken foot for a while.
And two world championships, so you kind of reached the top, although your peak in Mod Cart kind of came at the same time as Porter's, so you fell short of the championship, right?
Yeah, that would have been 2 years ago. It was me and Easton Sleeper battling for the points championship, and it was a close one at the end, but he just edged me out that year.
So now, like I said, you're still super young. You still could have raced Mod Cart a couple more years, but you've made this huge jump up to ProLite. First off, why was ProLite the right place for you?
We just thought, I mean, they drive very similar. It's just a matter of me learning how to drive the truck and get used to it on how fast it goes compared to the Mod Cart and like all the braking and stuff, getting the turns right and just getting smooth with it. That's how I learned with all the other trucks. That'll get smooth with the trucks and get fast.
What made it seem like now was the right time, though? Like I said, you could have stayed in Mod Cart a couple more years. Why make the jump now?
Yeah, it was mainly just we had found this ProLite and it was a good deal, so we thought we would jump in on it and try something new. And it's a big learning curve, but we're slowly getting used to it. Me and my team are. It's a huge jump, but we're getting it.
So what do you think has been the toughest part so far of making that adjustment from, you know, a tiny Mod Cart to a, you know, 3,300 pound ProLite?
Yeah, it's all about being smooth in the corners. It's tough getting used to that because in the Mod Cart, it was all about smoothness and because it only had 45 horsepower. And now this thing has some power to get out of corners. So you got to get used to being able to get out of corners faster and you got to be able to set it into the corners and get used to that. And it's all about me and my team, like, setup. It's all about that, too. Like, gearing at ERX, we had it a little off. But now we're slowly getting used to it and learning what gear we should have in each track. So it's all about that.
I think it was on our last podcast episode we did. We had Andrew Carlson on. He said the first time he raced Pro 4, he said it was like trying to drink from a fire hose. Is that pretty much how you felt on the line at Antigo for round one this year?
Yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking, but I settled in with the pack and did pretty well, actually. Made a few mistakes, but we're getting there.
What about unlearning some things? So to relate this to another driver, when Billy Booth moved up from 1600 to Pro Buggy, he said he had to basically unlearn how to drive the old car. Do you feel like you've had to unlearn some habits too?
Yeah, it's about like keeping the throttle where it should be. Like in the Mod Cart, you were just wide open around that track. And now with this ProLite, it has so much power. I mean, you got to let off in spots sometimes over the jumps and stuff. Normally in the Mod Cart, you had to be wide open going over jumps to keep your momentum going. It's all about momentum in that class.
So obviously the learning curve is just enormous, but have you had a moment or a couple moments yet this season through the first six rounds where you've finally kind of felt comfortable or felt like you're making big steps?
Yeah, it would have been round three at Crandon. I settled in with the pack and they seemed to be dropping like flies in the class. And I settled in with fifth and finished fifth. So that was one of my best races this year so far. And yeah, that one felt really comfortable in the truck. And yeah, it was a good race.
Has it been tough mentally to go from your last race out in the Mod Carts you won? Was it tough mentally to like manage your expectations and know that you had a big learning curve ahead of you?
Yeah, I was so used to, I knew in the mod cart that I was very competitive, and I know now that in this class, it's tough to be competitive with all those front guys. It's going to be tough to learn, but just getting used to it and hoping to get comfortable and catch up to those front guys eventually soon, in a couple of years, hopefully.
So obviously the Pro Light class, you've got a couple guys that have been at it for a long time, but a ton of talent in that class. Have you been able to have any conversations with some of the other drivers? Like, have they given you any pointers or any encouragement?
Yeah, a good buddy of mine, Johnny Holcher, he's helped me out a bunch. I raced with him in mod kart, that would have been, and short course kart. And so we've always been good friends, and he's given me a few pointers here and there, and that's helped me out a bunch. And just talking to all the other guys in that class, they're so nice, the whole class, and just taking pointers from them, it's helped a lot.
Hey, so you mentioned your injury last year. I want to dive into that just a little bit. When you got hurt, it looked like you might not even make it back at all last year. What's the story of that injury?
Yeah, so I was coming back from a weekend up at Tractor Safety. I got my Tractor Safety certification, and I thought I would hop on my four-wheeler and learn how to do wheelies. So, and that didn't end out very well. I fell off the back and broke my ankle off, basically, both the tibia and fibia. So I got surgery for that right away, got plates and screws. And then from the surgery, it got infected. And the whole summer, we were just battling that infection. And it was getting worse for a little while, but we finally got to a good doctor that knew how to fix it. And it just ended up getting better and better with that doctor. With many surgeries later, it got better, a lot better.
So what was that recovery like? I mean, were you in and out of like physical therapy or anything like that?
So it would have been, I think I went through like 6 or 7 surgeries throughout the whole summer.
Oh, wow.
They had to pick out the infection and stuff. And yeah, it was bad. But I had a wound vac on, it was called, for like 90 days, I think, throughout the whole summer. I think I had it on still at Bark River in Crandon. I had it on. I had to take it off before the race and put it right back on after the race, because it was only like a 45-minute time crunch that I had to take it off.
So what was the more challenging part of that, actually getting back in the truck last year at Bark River, or was it the time that you were just away and like you couldn't seem to catch a break?
Yeah, it was definitely the time away. I just mentally couldn't handle it because I had to stay at home and watch the races. Like normally we'd be there, and I knew I would be fast that year with a truck over winter. We had that thing dialed, but it was just a matter of me getting better and the doctors giving me the okay to race. And it was Bark River and Crandon that was left that I had to race, and those ended out very well.
You know, that's a pretty severe injury. Are there any long-term effects from that you have to keep an eye out for? Or at this point, do you feel 100% physically again?
Yeah, the doctor said I'll get back to normal, and right now I'm good. I'm 100%. I can do everything now, so that's great.
Nice. Do you look back, this, you kind of spat this out quick, but I caught it. Can you look back on it and laugh now that you were coming back from a safety training and you got hurt?
Yeah, I guess I never thought of that, but yeah, it's kind of funny, I guess.
When I was talking to you at ERX just a couple weeks ago, I was talking to you and your dad, and your dad pointed out that you have a super small team, and for the most part, it's just you and him. What has been challenging about, you know, bringing a small team up to the pro level?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. Me and him are working at the shop, at the house here every night, normally during the week, to prep the truck. But normally up at the races, we have my dad's two buddies, Clayton and Eric, who help us out a ton. They're great guys, and they know a lot about the industry and what goes on around the truck and in the truck. So they help us out a lot too. And it's my friends that come up to help clean the truck and stuff that help me clean the truck with me. And yeah.
So how much of it are you personally responsible for?
Normally, right when the truck gets back, we normally rip all the body off and stuff. And I'm normally ripping the body off, cleaning it right away, throwing it in the tub and rinsing it down. Then normally I'll just go around, nut and bolt the whole thing, check all the bolts, make sure they're all tight and stuff like that. Clean out the air filter and all that.
One other thing I noticed at ERX is that you had RJ Flanagan hanging on your pit. So people who've been around racing as long as I have in the Midwest or longer, they'll obviously know that name. He's kind of a legend of Midwest, I guess you could say, sportsman drivers. How did you get connected with RJ Flanagan?
Yeah, he lives right down the road from us, like 10 minutes away. He's always been around us. He knows a lot about these trucks. He knows everything about them. And he he helps me. He's a spotter for me, so that's great. He knows everything about these tracks, and it's always good to have him on the radio.
So how much has he helped you both on the program side and as a driver? I mean, you have to be learning an absolute ton from him.
Oh, yeah. He, on the track, normally in practicing qualifying, he's telling me what to do, where I should set up my corners, and how to get those a lot smoother and stuff. It helps me out a ton, because without him, it'd be a lot different.
Are you and your dad getting a lot from him too, just on how to, you know, successfully run a racing program?
Oh yeah, because he knows how to prep the truck normally. He's done that for years, and he knows how to do all that. And yeah, he stops over a couple times a week and checks in on how we're doing and stuff, gives us pointers, and just gives us a lot of information that is well.
Is that a big confidence boost for you? Not only that he's in your corner, but, you know, for him to actually, he believes in you guys. So that's got to boost your confidence a ton to have someone like that who's believing in you.
Oh, yeah, it's huge, because he knows so much information about everything involved in this type of racing, because he's done it for a long time.
So looking ahead to this weekend now, it's just a couple days away, round 7 and 8, Dirt City Motorplex. Do you have a goal in mind for racing there in Prolite for your first time?
Yeah, mainly just get a good start, just stay clean, try and keep off with trucks and stuff, get better at my racing, use the brakes more and all that, and then just try and finish the race, maybe top 10, hopefully maybe a top 5 this weekend, shooting for. Just try and learn a lot. That's all we're doing this year, just learning.
And then what about the rest of the season, your rookie season in Prolite? If everything goes as well as you could possibly hope, what's a high point that you think you can reach this year?
I think a high point would be a podium for sure. I mean, that'd be great, but hopefully we get there. I mean, that'd be great. That's what I've been shooting for a while.
And obviously it's still early in your racing life to ask, but what's beyond Prolite? Do you have any big dreams beyond that? Or is it too early to tell?
Yeah, definitely. Just keep learning. That's all it's about. Just learn until we get fast.
Nice. Well, I look forward to seeing you try to improve. Like you said, you already landed in the top 5 once, and if you just keep finishing races, you know, it'll come to you. I think, you know, given your background, your success in ModCart, I feel like you have a bright future here.
Yeah, thanks.
One question before I cut you loose, though, Michael. If I saw the Facebook post correctly, you actually missed your first day of high school to race Labor Day last year, and then you missed your last day to be at Antigo. So how does the school schedule line up this fall? Are you going to have to miss more school to race?
Actually, this fall, I think we're starting after Labor Day. But for all 8 years now, I've always had to cut off school for Labor Day. That's how it's always been. And it's always been, well, since Antigo here, it's always been cutting off the last day of school.
Are you like the coolest kid in school that you have to duck out early to go race a truck?
Yeah, for the most part, I try to be.
Nice. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you taking some time with us, or time with me, I guess, as Brent is recovering from some throat ailments, and look forward to seeing you rip it up at Dirt City here in round 7 and 8.
Yeah, can't thank you enough for having me here.
We'll see you at the racetrack. Well, Brent, like I said earlier, we're in the grind of the season. We had this 2-week turnaround between ERX and Dirt City. This is the midway point of the season for both sportsmen and for pros. What are you excited about looking ahead to round 7 and 8 this weekend at Dirt City Motorplex?
What I'm most excited about is just the really tight, compact racing like we had in the beginning part of this season at Antigo, Wisconsin. I love to drive on short technical tracks. We've seen great racing in 2022. I mean, we have some drivers that aren't going to be there, but we have a lot of new faces that'll probably make the podium. And I'm just excited. It's a bull ring, a lot of great competition. The weather's going to be great, and it's just a small town feel, and that's what I love it.
Hey, just like we talked about with the Marquardt brothers a few minutes ago, the fans in Lena are so into off-road racing. They pack the house every time. They have since day one at Dirt City. That's what I'm excited about. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a packed house. The weather looks like it's going to cooperate Saturday and Sunday and be a beautiful weekend. Man, off-road racing is just fun. I'm looking forward to it. And if you're excited too and you can't make it to Dirt City this weekend, don't forget, you can see us live on Flow Racing. Round 7 starts at 9:45 a.m. Central Time. If you can't be there, make sure you tune in.
Absolutely. I'm excited to get things going. For Shane Stetsny, I'm Brent Smith. We'll talk to you next time here on the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.